Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my producer and co-host, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole, and thank you for your kind email to comfort me on the death of my brother. And I have three brothers. I don't often talk about my family, but I have three brothers. But he was my go-to guy. He was my protector during my childhood. You know, we had a pretty dysfunctional childhood, and he was the one who was always taking the heat or trying to diffuse situations. He was the peacemaker. And, you know, my other brother, Chris, who's in Hawaii, I sort of haven't talked to him in many, many years too often, and I think Gary has brought us back together because we've been communicating and talking, so I think I lost one brother and gained back another, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And my brother Chris said, he was the good one that everybody liked. You know, he was the one. And that's why, you know, his death has hit pretty hard. And his daughter was getting married this weekend, and she has canceled her wedding or postponed it, and because she's so devastated. And it's hard for her to, I guess, comprehend walking down the aisle without her father. And the one thing that I think my brother really did good was he was a really good father, and he really liked being a grandfather because his daughter did, you know, has a child, and now they're getting married, her and her fiance. And so yesterday I was having a very hard day. Thank God I had a day off. You know, I don't get a day off usually. So I think the delay in finding out his death was really timely for me because I was able to mourn most of the day. TJ wasn't even here. He was skiing. So it gave me a day by myself, which I really, really needed. I didn't really want to talk to people or really see them. So I felt good that way, but I had to go for a walk. I just couldn't take it anymore. And within 2 minutes of walking, I find one penny with the date 1986, and I put it in my pocket, and then I walk another maybe 30 feet, and I see another penny, and it was marked the date was 2016. And I'm walking and I'm meditating on that, and my brother came through to say, Cindy, that was the year I found out that Star was going to be born. I was going to be a father. It was 1986, and 2016 was when I found that I was going to be a grandfather. They were my happiest days and my accomplishments. So I was so thrilled to death to get to hear from him already so soon. And I asked him who meted and greeted you, because remember, I don't know if you read on Facebook, I didn't make it so clear, but he was dead since Tuesday, and they only found him on, and he's dead since Thursday, and they only found him on Tuesday, because he lived alone, yes, he was divorced, but he still was kept in contact very much with his ex-wife and his friends. But, you know, his cell phone, people were blowing up already, like, where are you? What's going on? Like, nobody thought he was going to have had a heart attack or die. Nobody even thought that at all. Until after, you know, finally they just said, let's go find out what the story is. So, you know, I felt very bad because he died alone, but I always know you don't die alone. As soon as you die, to make people feel better who might be listening, you know, the dead come for you right away. And you're not alone, not for 1 second. And so the pennies, whenever I find pennies when I'm walking, and I always seem to find pennies, okay, like nobody else finds them, but I'm always finding them. I look at the date. And there's usually significance to the date. And then I put it in a wishing well that my grandfather had given me. That was quite magical to me because the wishes I've made on it seemed to come true. So I said, oh, I'm going to put them in the wishing well when I get home. And I realized my brother gave me the message that my grandfather was the first one to come meet him and greet him.
Yeah.
So I got the little bit of messages from the other side. So it always helps to hear the messages. And as I was saying to you in the beginning of the show, I hadn't discussed at all the loss of my friend Jane Prince because I hadn't been able to process it very well, mainly because when you have a friend that you don't have mutual friends with, you don't know when they die, okay? Like,
yeah.
And I knew she had breast cancer, and the last time I had seen her, she was pretty determined to beat it, and she was one of the most spiritual people I've ever known, really and truly, quietly spiritual. When she was a teenager, very young girl, she channeled Mother Mary, but she never really talked about it with anybody. Like, one night, she would talk with me about it, and she was just brilliant and taught me about the laws of attraction. And she was one of those friends that I would just go maybe, say, 7 or 8 hours with her maybe once or twice a year because we were both busy, but we would take a long time when we were together. And for on my birthday, when she didn't wish me a happy birthday, that was very unusual. But I said, you know, maybe she's busy because she had just moved. So I thought she's moving. I don't want to bother her. Her birthday's in June, and I'll contact her because we always got together somewhere near our birthdays. And
yep.
She didn't get back to me on her birthday, and I thought that's really weird, but already I had a pretty good inkling, just as I knew with my brother. The last time I talked to him on the phone was 2 months ago. I knew he, for some reason, after I got off the phone, I said, he's dying. And I thought he had died already, but because no one had called me, I was like, no, I'm not really hearing that he's dead. Maybe it's just a misinformation from the other side. And the same thing happened to me with Jane. I kept hearing a voice saying, you know, I've died, but I didn't want to hear it because it's my friend. I don't want to hear this. So I went into denial mode about it for quite some time. And then when I did a psychic event where I did 53 readings in one night, which opens a vortex, believe me, she came to me and said, Cindy, you have to Google my name tonight. I have died. You know I have died. And I would like to talk to you. So please, please. Like that, she went very firmly, please. And I'd been listening to an audiobook that Jane had the most distinct, beautiful voice. And this reader of this audiobook has her voice. And the weird part about it, I was just finishing it, and they got to the part where they were talking about the death of her brother in the book. And I'm like, that was really freaking me out, too, because I was like, okay, the message were being given to me, but I wasn't really receiving them. But then I got home, and I Googled it, and Jane had no really footprints on the Internet because she didn't really have an email. That's why one of the reasons I really couldn't contact her, because she only had her phone. She never was on Facebook. She had no social media whatsoever. There's not one footprint about her on the whole Internet. And the only thing I could find was a very small obituary that she had died from breast cancer. And I was really upset that I hadn't known and that she hadn't contacted me to let me know she was that gravely ill. And at that point, but, you know, from what she said to me, it happened quickly and there was just no time. And, you know, if I knew her, she wanted to remember her, not, because last time I saw her, she was beautiful and very vital. But those two deaths, both so sudden and to me, sort of hit very, very hard because, you know, I hadn't processed hers at all. It was just, I was getting a little more used to the idea. And of course she says, but I can talk to you more now, you know, it's like, because, you know, we were always so busy. But the weird part about was when she died.
What I had in mind.
Right. It's not what I had in mind. But I wrote that night, it was 2:00 in the morning when I finally read her obituary. And I went into her phone and I was hoping maybe somebody, you know, in the family had it, or I thought it was just going to go into the vapors that maybe the phone wasn't even, she wasn't even receiving these messages. So I just wrote, you know, you went and died on me. Thanks a lot. And the next day someone says, who are you trying to contact? And I said, my friend Jane, this is her number. She goes, no, AT&T gave it to me 2 months ago. And I felt so terrible. And I, you know, explained to her the sort of the situation and she was very kind. But I was like, can you believe AT&T gives phones away your numbers in 2 months?
Yeah, right.
That's really awful. And so The thing is, my message to everybody is, and I always feel bad because I work a lot and I'm always busy, and I feel like sometimes I mean to call people, but I'm just so tired after doing 8 or 9 readings that I always say, I'll call you tomorrow, I'll get to it, and it doesn't happen. So mm-hmm. I made a little deal with myself. I'm going to have to find time to make those calls because there might not always be that time to just call. And we're all so busy. That's why I love Facebook. I have to tell you, everybody makes fun of Facebook, but if she had been on Facebook, wouldn't I have known this? Wouldn't I have, been able to see some of her mutual friends and things like that? So don't make fun of social media. I mean, all of my cousins, I made sure before I posted about my brother's death, I didn't post it till I either called or messaged or Facebooked everyone who needed to know before they would find it on there. But it was so quick and easy to contact everybody. So it's a wonderful thing, I think, Facebook. It really is a wonderful thing.
When you use it the right way, it is. You have to use it the right way. And that's where people have issues, I guess, drawing those lines, and understandably so. It's addicting and it's easy. And, you don't always see. But, even with myself, I was just telling you before the show started that, even right after the show tonight, I'm going to a wake for somebody who, tragically died of cancer, it was just a horrible situation, and the family has been through so much this year, and they're close friends of my family, and even with the fact that I almost lost my mom this year, where it's like, and I said to my mother, like, you should really take something from this. And she was like, well, what am I supposed to learn? She was like, I went to the hospital right away. What am I supposed to learn? I said, what are you supposed to learn? I was like, Mom, I was like, you have been stressing about money. You stress about this. You stress about things that are beyond your control. I was like, you want to go here. You want to go there. But it's always money, 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 bills, 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 bills. I'm like, you're taking this trip tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. I'm like, how many friggin' tomorrows do you really think that you're going to get? I was like, you have to, tomorrow isn't promised, I said, and you just learned that, all the shit like that you've been putting off for tomorrow, like not for anything, you might not get it. You might not get it tomorrow. So, you got to seize it today and you got to live today.
And yes, the constant worry about money, because my brother was quite money oriented and made a lot of money when he was younger, and he had a sprinkler business in Boca Raton, and he's 67. It's a pretty physical job, and his legs were starting to bother him and fill with fluid, and he wasn't really able to work, and he began to stress out so much about money, like, how am I going to, because, although he had his, Social Security and a small pension, he had still planned on working like 5 more years. Like, that was going to be, money he was going to, live on. And when it didn't happen, I think it just killed him. I think he just couldn't deal with it. Too much worrying about money. And that's the thing that, you can't worry about it that much. You got to try to save when you can. And that's something that I want to stress on the show. The problem is people are not saving when they can. They spend too much because they're young, or they just think they're going to be able to work forever, or they think whatever, or they give too much to their children, which is a problem. And they don't realize that maybe they get sick and then they don't have money because their kids aren't going to have it for them. And then they're stressed out, like, unbelievably, my clients that are in their 60s and 70s. They gave so much to their kids, and now they're like, oh, my God, I can't work. I thought I'd be able to work. I didn't think I was going to have to retire at 65. I thought I could work till 70. They were counting on that extra 5 years that may or may not come. So, again, plan for the future. Save your money. Don't spend it all. Don't give it all away, And, know when you get over the age of 55, 60, you got to stop giving it to everybody because you don't know. There's no guarantee that you're – especially if you have a very physical job, okay, because sometimes you just can't do it. And, I realized he was so stressed out about money, unbelievably, the last time I talked to him. And, sometimes you just feel like, I just can't deal with this. I don't want to deal with it. And so I'm telling people, like you said to your mom, stop worrying about it, enjoy it, take that little trip.
Listen, I'm not saying to be irresponsible by any means.
No, but take
I'm
that
not
little
saying,
trip.
for
take people. That little trip.
Exactly. But the one weekend away is not going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? But not taking
exactly.
it would. You actually can. So, you know, just taking a break every now and then, you know, is not going to kill you. If you have vacation time, use it.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Stop working, you know, and not taking the rest that you deserve and not taking those days to reset like you should, because it's only to your own detriment.
Exactly. And, you know, I just find, you know, it's always, death is a wake-up call. It wakes up, you know, the living, and especially, like, you know, I know with my brother, he had some health issues, and they weren't finding answers, the doctors, and that was making him depressed and upset. And then he didn't finish some of the tests he should have. Like, if you have an issue and you don't like the doctor, not getting to it, go another route. Find someone else. Find the doctor that does know what the problem is. But, you know, don't, you know, after a while, people just ignore it, because if they're not helping, and you feel like you're being helped, and people are like, well, the hell with it. Well, you can't do that. And, you know, you just can't do that. And, you know, if you're having a health issue, deal with it. Please deal with it, you know, and take care of yourself. That's or take care of yourself. Very important. But, you know, I just think, you know, we all learn how to process it. But it isn't easy. And I think I was telling you before the show that people always think for me, well, you talk to them, it must be easy. And I go, well, just like when you come to me and I talk to your mom or someone who's passed on, it's comforting, it's lovely, but you still don't have them there with you to hug or talk to. Or, I mean, Jane, and I'm going to say her name, Jane Prince was my go-to spiritual person. She was my always the most enlightened person I'd ever met, although she was very modest about it and humble, the most humble person. And it's like my mentor, my person that was always there for me when I needed, it's gone. And that was very hard for me to accept. And, you know, I only knew her about 15 years, which, you know, I'm 65, so 15 years isn't a long time of my life, but it was the part of my life in which I became spiritual. So she was actually, you know, much more evolved than I was when we first met, because she was sort of guiding me and helping me. So interesting enough, though, you know, she is very funny when she comes through to the other side. She's always telling me, well, we always said, whoever comes first, we'll let you know how it is. She goes, I scoped it out. It's pretty good up here, is what she said to me. I scoped it out for you. You know, so... you know, we have the holidays coming, so enjoy your families, try to get together with them. And, you know, I know holidays are always stressful. We always talk about that, how stressed out people get in your holidays, and sometimes they have to see family members, and that they're, well, try to enjoy it, because later on you might really regret it. And like I was saying to her, I had a brother I haven't really spoken to in 40 years, except briefly when my mom was dying. And now I've spoken to him for the last couple of days, and I realize, well, he's a brother I'd like to get to know now as he's a man. You know, whatever issues we have as children, that time has passed. It's gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was so funny because he goes, you know, Gary was when everybody liked me, not so much. You know, so a little bit of an understatement, you know. Not so much, but it was very hard because we were all only a year apart. I was like, you know, when I was born, my brother Chris was only one. My brother Gary was two. So, you know, my mother had another, my brother Frank, who was four. So, you know, there was a lot of rivalry, I imagine, when we were all that close in age.
I would imagine.
You know, I don't know how she did it. I couldn't have that many kids. Believe me, I couldn't. I'd probably be in a mental hospital.
I'd say.
Well, we
that's
do have
just,
someone
that's
who wants
lot of kids.
To talk to us, by the way. Did you notice someone pressed? Good. If you want to talk to us, press 1. And also, I think we should make an announcement several times throughout the show. This is our last show of 2018. Next week is TJ's birthday, and we're usually in the city or, you know, on his birthday, which we... And the following week, I have to fill in some things that I canceled because I wasn't really up to them this week. So I just felt like I couldn't do a psychic part of any, and I can't schedule it any other time than the Thursday of the 27th, because that's the only day that I could fit it in. So I said, let me do my psychic party then, because I just felt like I could not focus to do it this week. So
I don't blame you. I don't think anybody would.
So I figured it will go right into January 3rd. So this is our, like, hurrah end of the year show. So, you know, we'll keep that in mind. This is our end of the year show. So, you know, could you believe it? Another year, 10 years now.
Yeah, another year has gone by. I know. It's crazy. It is
our
crazy.
Together. And I know you do this out of a labor of love, and it's your karma and giving back, but I think you also do it so we can keep connected because we have a once a week time together, you know.
Yes, we do. Yes, we most certainly do. And I love our time together, so.
That's what I do, too. So we do have two callers, so let's, why don't we go to the first one, which is 1139, and see what they might have to say.
Of course. Hello, you are on the air.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for taking my call. Are you doing readings tonight? Or?
Yes, we are. So,
oh, wonderful.
You have a great voice. You have a radio voice. We love this.
I'm from Long Island originally, too. And my question is, I've had quite a bizarre life and a lot of difficult situations that I've worked through with my spirituality that I'm looking to show people how, even in these chaotic times, it's just a mindset that you can shift if you have a good heart-to-God connection. Anything is possible, so that don't be controlled by what's controlling you. Look in the mirror and get into your higher self and get that heart-to-God connection going and start acting by creating opportunities. That's what I've done all my life, and it's a lifelong experience, but like you were talking about the people that are retiring, this is a new opportunity for them to look at, too, to develop passive income streams. It's all available with today's technologies, but people would rather Facebook and Twitter their life away and worry about stuff. Worry gets you nowhere, and arguing, nobody ever wins an argument. So do you see people finally, I don't know if they're overwhelmed by my life experience. I'd like to share my name off there, too, or give it on
sure.
there.
Sure, this is fascinating. I mean, this is our end of the year show, so we would really like to have you sum up some of the things that maybe people can do in the upcoming year and share some of your story, because it's fascinating.
Yes, maybe I could even co-author book or things with you, too. So I'll give my name, and then you'll be able to see who I am on the Internet. I don't do email or texting. It's Hugh, H-U-G-H. Last name is Trawlson. That's spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy. You can put it on YouTube or Google it. It will bring up all kinds of interviews and websites. There's a big website I think you'll find quite interesting if you put my last name again, Trawlson, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N, the word and, and then Trump, T-R-U-M-P. I actually share a common background with President Trump. I'm not into the ego, though, like he is. My last name does have global recognition. Trawlson refrigerators are all over the world. They're in Trump hotels, even in the White House kitchen. I'm the firstborn child of the founder and did work for the company years ago. My mother also was a supermodel. You'll see a poster of her. Yeah, there's a poster of her on that page, Trawlson and Trump, that's in the Library of Congress, where she posed for wave recruitment posters during the Second World War. I've had UFO paranormal and near-death experiences with ongoing paranormal, and I've learned to, I was raised Catholic. I'm not a practicing Catholic. In fact, I call out the Catholic Church now to stop all the manipulation and put these pedophile priests in jail where they belong. And I thought it was quite ironic about two nuns that I guess embezzled $500,000 out in California, and they're going to prosecute them. It looks like the Archdiocese wants to prosecute them. So the Catholic Church really gets fired up when they're losing money from their own people, but they don't want to lose money by exposing and paying back the victims of pedophile priests. That's pretty sad.
Yeah, no, it's an issue that I spoke a lot with my friend Jane, who passed on, that this was pretty hard for people to swallow what happened in with that, and I hopefully they will clean up that mess.
Well, that's what I'm working on. I have a page on the site, Spirituality in Multidimensions, and at the bottom of the page is a letter I sent to Cardinal Dolan, so you'll be able to see that too. And if you have my number, I'd love to speak with you, because it's really time. People really need to understand that we all have unlimited creativity, but again, it doesn't kick in until you start doing things and doing it in a spiritual way with love energy. That's the most powerful energy is, that's God energy.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm glad that, you know, you called into the show and gave us some of your information, and like, I love what you said about people, if they are retired, yes, reinvent yourself. We need a website and a skill. That's all we need to, you know, create another career or start one, and people reinventing themselves is very an important concept in the 21st century. Absolutely.
Well, especially with today's technologies, too. Back way before the internet, I functioned while working 100-hour weeks, too, as an independent international marketing consultant. And I have letters related to back then where I was circumvented in multi-million dollar deals, which is okay. It just showed that I was right on track. But there are ways to approach people to be a mentor, to ask them to be a mentor for you. And mentors can, instead of a few people with today's technologies, do hundreds, if not thousands of people through the internet too. So it's really time to, and I call out the gurus, the billionaires and stuff. I say, look, you can't take it with you. And we all came from spirit. We're going back into spirit. So redistribute it in ways that will empower the masses. Otherwise, this chaos that's going on in France will spread more and more globally, because people get too frustrated, and again, they won't take personal responsibility. And that's a lot of where the consciousness has to go, because we put these people into office as far as the government. The government is a reflection of us. And I also say to people, Mother Nature's acting crazy because we're crazy. When we get it right, she'll get it right.
Yeah. That, you know, let's certainly hope so in that. And I'm glad that, you know, you ended our, you know, helping end our your show on some notes of, let's try to make the world a better place and maybe a little more peaceful would be great. Well, you know, thank you so much for sharing. We're going to try to get another caller on tonight. And thank you for sharing who you are. And I'm sure our listeners got your information.
Okay, thank you. And God bless everyone. If you can't do anything else, I tell people, say a prayer and God will put the ego in check where it needs to be. And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. It's always nice to have someone else who's got a little bit of a platform or a little, you know, on their spiritual path coming onto our show. I love that. You know, we get to share a little bit and hear what they have to say.
What we always say.
Right, exactly. Now we have Eleanor. Yes, why don't you tell me what Eleanor's up to?
All right, Cindy. Well, Eleanor, and obviously you know who Eleanor is, and she hasn't called in for a long time, and she wanted to take this opportunity to see what direction her love life was going in. Her boyfriend has got one foot in the door, Cindy. He might be moving in, and she just wants to make sure that she's not going to be making any fatal errors anytime soon, and, you know, she just wants a little bit, I think, of confirmation that this is the right move. So here we go with Eleanor. Hello, Eleanor. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
How do your kids feel about it?
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, it's so good to hear from you. I was thinking of you the other day, too, so it's funny. When I think about you, you usually call in. It's like clockwork.
Yeah, our thoughts drift together.
Wow.
I wanted to send you my condolences before I even say anything.
Oh, thank you so much.
You.
Thank you so much. And I said, it's funny, when we're talking about Facebook as a platform, it's so nice because, you know, people just said such wonderful comments and such, you know, heartfelt prayers and thoughts. And it was very lovely. I read every single comment, and there's like hundreds of them. They were just so sweet. And, you know, people just sharing what they're going through and what they feel. And so thank you so much for thinking of me. I really appreciate that, too. So we have
your children,
I'm concerned with. How are they feeling about this move?
Well, one is off to college, which is good. The other one is home, and he's a work in process. You know, it's, you know, the terrible teens. They both adore him and they love him, and he knows how to work both of them, you know, I guess in a good way.
Right, good.
He knows how to handle them. They've both gotten better because of him, and they both seek him out constantly. They watch football with him. They adore him. So on that end, they're asking for him to move in.
Good.
And, you know, we just have lifestyle differences. I think you know what he does for a living, and, you know, I'm not going to, you know, discuss that on the air. But, you know, it's just very, very big lifestyle differences. I'm not questioning how he feels about me. I'm just wondering if this is a bad decision. He does some questionable things with business, and I don't want to, I guess I'm what you call your commitment phobe, or maybe I'm rightfully scared. So I just wanted to see what you might be picking up.
It's cute the way. Well, I do see, you know, there's a potential for him to not totally be honest with you. You know, those are things, you know what he's like. And in the past, he's chit-chatted with other women. Have you talked to him about that you're not happy with that, and that can't be if you live together?
Right.
Does he realize that?
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten better. He still has two female friends that go way back, you know. And actually, there are three female friends. One of them became very, very close with, you know. You know, so that's not an issue.
Right.
But the other two, you know, maybe one more so than the other, but there's nothing going on, you know. You know, he doesn't see anybody. And it's just a matter of chatting, and that bothers me. And he's very needy, and he gets bored, and I feel like sometimes he's insatiable, you know, just to talk to people. And it just, that part really, really bothers me, and I don't think that's an aspect I can change. And either have to live with it or not live with it, if that makes sense.
Right. And again, you're not changing him, okay? And he's going to continue to, you know, have his female friends. And as long as you feel like, you know, he's not doing anything or whatever, he's not going to change that. You'll have to change that you can accept it and not fight with him all the time over it. You know, you been trying not to fight over it?
I've been trying, you know, I have a friend who, she's very close. She's a very successful therapist, and she's been helping me, you know, try to, you know, ignore and disengage, you know, from a lot of that. And it's been helpful, you know, but I just feel like I want a sense of peace, and, you know, I've been through so much, and how come I can't get a sense of peace? You know, is anybody out there, you know, who is perfect, who's going to give me everything that I need? I mean, I'm not sure.
Right. No, I mean, that's true. I mean, people have, you know, their warts and farts and all, and we have to kind of love them with it if we can. But, you know, if you can deal with it, it's not like, you know, it's not really, he's not going to stop it. It is what it is. But as long as you can deal with it, then there's not a problem. You know, but I don't see him changing. And, you know, he wants to live with you. He's very excited to be living here. Have you figured out all the financial aspects of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, he sent me, like, you know, some financials about what he wants to do. And he is excited about it. I mean, I honestly think he wants to even get married, and I'm really, like, gun-shy about that, to be honest with you. So I'm somebody who doesn't, you know, take a plunge with both of my feet, you know.
I wouldn't advise you to marry him until you live with him for a while, too.
Do you think that he's looking to move in just for financial reasons, or do you think he really wants to share space with me?
I think it's a combination of both, but, you know, is he going to pay you to live there, like rent?
Yes.
Okay, good. I mean,
it would be helpful for both of us, you know, but, you know, I want it to be more reasons than just the financial.
Right. No, I mean, you've been with him like 2 years now, right?
Three.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not like you hear it within 1 minute. I just do get the card that it could go toxic if you don't work out some of these issues with him, you know. But it's going to be, you know, living in the house. I mean, you know, perhaps he'll be wanting to talk to you more. Are you going to be okay with him talking to you all the time? Because he's going to want to talk to you a lot.
Well, he does, and, you know, that kind of, it's a combination of, like, us wanting space from each other and, you know, him wanting to talk to me constantly where I don't get my space. Or maybe he'll feel like he doesn't get his space, and we're trying to feel out how we can get space from each other and yet be with each other all the time. It's really hard. It's really hard.
Well, do you have room where you live? Is there space in your house?
Yeah. I mean,
good.
There's space, but still, like, you know, he'll text me from upstairs to come up and talk, and, you know, I'm like, oh, boy, I was, like, going to go out and go on my treadmill, you know, kind of thing.
Well, you can't.
But I guess,
not,
you know, these are.
I mean, you're going to have to draw boundaries, okay? It's, like, territorial, you know, you're territorial.
Right.
You're going to have to, like, do that in the beginning. Like, if you're supposed to be going on your treadmill, then he can come down and talk to you while you're on the treadmill if he wants, but you're going on your treadmill.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't not take care of yourself or your health because he wants to talk. And you work and you're a mom, and he has a lot more time on his hands than you have because he does, like, works from
home,
yeah, and he doesn't commute and all those things. So, yeah, you could work it out. You know, if you're not doing anything permanently, you don't really have anything to fear at this point. You know,
he wants something permanent with me, doesn't he?
Yeah. He wants to marry you, but there's too many negatives showing up here for me to say go marry him right away. Just, again, see. I mean, sometimes it may not bother you so much. You might get used to it. It's like, okay, you know, like, see how it goes. But, you know, he's the kind of man, once you marry him, you have no leverage to stop his behaviors.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
I mean, other than divorce, and believe me, you know, you've been divorced before. I've been divorced. It's, you don't want the state of New York in your bedroom again, okay?
It's horrible.
No, once you've been through it, you know, there's a certain amount of him wanting security from you and your commitment. But if you're letting him move in, that's pretty committed right now, okay? That's a big step.
It is.
It's a very big step.
He's got health issues. He's got health issues. I mean, that's concerning to me, too, because it impinges on our lifestyle. Do you see any of the health issues resolving for him?
Well, they look a little bit significant here. Now, his brother's the one that passed away, right? Because that's the guy entering my home right now. Okay, I recognize him.
Yes.
We spoke from before to him. Is he doing the things he's supposed to do to help with those health issues?
Yes.
Good.
Everything, and then some.
Okay, and you know,
Before his brother passed, he told one of his friends that there's something he had to tell her about my boyfriend, and then he just passed, and we're just wondering what the big secret is. If there's anything that we should know.
He had to tell who a secret?
He had to tell my boyfriend's friend something about my boyfriend. It was like a big secret, and he passed, so we don't know what it is.
Well, he's pretty much was going to talk about some of the family dysfunction in the household, which, have you discussed it with him at all?
Yeah, I know all about it.
Okay, that's it. Okay, he was going to talk about the dysfunction.
Was he ever sexually abused? I know he was physically abused. Was there any
sexual
abuse?
Yeah, and so was the brother. That's why the brother was a drug addict and all his nonsense that he was into.
Do we know who sexually abused them?
He won't. You know, it's funny because this is public, so he's not going to reveal probably what he kind of kept to his grave. But, you know, I'm not so sure it's even a family member, okay? We just had the caller before talking about the Catholic Church. You know, it's not always a family member. Sometimes it's a neighbor, a priest, it's a coach. You know, it's not always family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So whoever did it to both boys, you know, I think he was trying to help heal him by revealing some of this. He certainly wasn't doing it to be hurtful.
Right, no, I didn't think so. They were very close.
And, you know, it's one of the things that some of your boyfriend's health issues are characteristic of people that have been sexually abused. You know, they oftentimes have really weird diseases. and, you know, but, you know, see, I just see at some level, this can get toxic if you're not careful. So you have to say what you mean what you say without being mean about it. Okay.
Right.
Because you can't get really nasty about things with him. It doesn't work. I mean, he seems like he's probably calmer than you are at times. Is that the truth? Because he, you know, looks like he tries to be nice very much. I mean, he loves you very much.
Sometimes he's calmer and sometimes I'm calmer. So, you know, we balance each other out that way.
Right. But, I mean, don't let it escalate into, you know, screaming matches or anything like that. Say what you mean what you say. Don't be mean about it. I mean, the same issues that were there from 3 years ago are still here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you've been with him 3 years and you've managed to, and he lives so far away from you. You know, probably at this point, if you're going to continue the relationship, you'd have to kind of see if you could live together. I mean, very few people on this planet we can live with. There's probably less than a handful of people on this entire planet that we can live in peace with, okay? So,
right.
You know, maybe when he moves in with you, it'll be the ending of the relationship, but that's probably better than dragging it out for 10 years because you don't want to take the leap and 10 years pass and then you realize you're not compatible in the long run. So, you know, it's not a bad thing what I see happening here. You know, move it forward.
But I shouldn't be concerned about the two female friends he's had for a long time that he chats with. It's not, you know, anything.
Well, he doesn't leave the house, you said, right?
No, never.
So, I mean, it's not. And does he do any of the sexting or any of that still?
No, that stopped.
So, okay, so fine. You know, so fine. You know, he's been friends with them a long time. If he were going to be with them, in the 3 years you've known him, he would go be with them. You
but
know,
one of them he had, you know, a relationship with.
Years ago, though.
Right before I met him.
Right. And again, you know, I'm not a huge fan of people, and you know you've listened to a show long enough. Your exes are
yes.
your exes, unless you have kids together, and then you've got to find peace. I'm not a big fan of that because what happens is because, you know, when their love went very toxic, I don't know if he told you about that, but when love gets toxic, it's addictive. And it's not good for you, but you can't seem to totally break it away.
It wasn't love, you know, it was more of a, you know, like a sexual relationship. It wasn't like really a relationship even, you know.
So then, but now they're friends?
Yeah, well, they've been friends, I guess.
Right.
I can't stand it.
I mean, I wouldn't be thrilled with it. I just think it's like, let go of the exes, please, because it complicates things. I mean, would he want you talking to an ex?
Well, he knows I do now. You know, I talk to a couple of them, and he changes the subject, and I know it bothers him, but he wouldn't dare say anything because, you know, then that means that, you know, he would have to face up to me saying something. And the only reason I talk to any of my exes is because he encouraged me, and so there you go.
But you see,
I don't mean to be tit for tat, but you know.
But it's stupid then. In other words, it's I mean, I wouldn't talk to exes to get anybody mad because you're opening a can of worms there too. You know, he's sort of hooked on that woman. They've got some sort of weird relationship. I mean, he would have, you know, there's a point where I always say, use the analogy, when you commit to one person or you commit to even, we'll say even with the Catholic Church, because that was right. If you say you're going to be a priest, you open that door, you close the door to, you know, sex as part of the rules of that church, whether, you know, if you're going to follow the rules. If you're going to be in a relationship that's committed with one person and she wants you to close the door with your ex because she's not comfortable with it, then, you know, cheating is what your mate thinks is. Cheating isn't what he thinks. It's what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think this is cheating, then he's not the right mate for you. But the point is, if he loves you that much, why wouldn't he close the door with that person to make you happy? I mean, everybody wants to keep all the doors open now. Do you know? They're married, but they want to sleep around. They're in a relationship, but they want to still talk to their exes. I mean, this is like all across the board. But that's why everything seems... It's why you're not so secure. Like, you know, you're the one that, you know, he's supposed to be sharing emotionally with and everything like that and talking. I mean, how often does he talk to her? Is it once a month? Is it once a day? Is it?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, one of his friends, you know, one of the female friends he talks to maybe, you know, a few times a week, maybe by text or maybe like once every few weeks by phone. And the other one, you know, I think maybe it's like, you know, every week by text and maybe a phone call, you know, so I don't think either one of them are regular, but then again, I'm not there. So I know things would change, you know, once he moved in, you know, as far as when he would talk or, you know, because I know
right.
he wouldn't feel comfortable doing that when I'm around.
Right. I mean, so you know, you're kind of committed to have him move in at this point, see how it goes, say what you mean, tell him what you feel. If it's going to be a deal breaker, then it's going to be a deal breaker as time goes on. I mean, maybe when he lives with you, he'll stop with all this if he has you there, and because he might be lonely, you know, maybe he's living alone, he's lonely. You know, I just see that, you know, there he has some parts of his personality that are very difficult. I mean,
oh, yeah,
you,
absolutely.
He's a, not an easy person. And,
right.
You know,
he comes with
all,
a lot of baggage.
In all honesty, when you want to, the best people to live with are easygoing people. Because
well,
you
try
know,
to find some.
Yeah, no kidding. So I mean, you know, he's moving into your house. Is you know, that's territorial, and he may try to assert his ways, and you know, he'll figure it out like all relationships. You know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. You're not marrying him. It's nothing written in stone. If it doesn't work, as you know, live in, then you'll have to figure it out. I'm not sure if that's going to work for him because does he have a good apartment, rent control or something? If he gives it up, where does he live?
He would give up a really good situation. I don't want him to lose it just because, you know what I mean? And then it wouldn't
right.
work out.
Okay, Nicole,
so
do you have anything to say on this? Because
sure.
Nicole's usually good with this kind of stuff. Nicole, do you have anything to add on
let's,
this?
Nicole, what do you think?
What do you think, Nicole?
I think you already know. And you're looking for another answer. You already have these reservations. But listen, but here's the thing. You already have the answer. If you have these reservations already, you can't be with somebody because your kids like them, okay? You know, your kids like Santa Claus, and Santa Claus doesn't fucking exist. So you know what I'm saying? Like if, you
right.
have to look at it like that, all right? So it's great that he's wonderful with the kids, but if there's certain things that are deal breakers for you, then I kind of have a feeling that he is completely unaware as to how much this bothers you. I think that you're bordering on a situation. But do you mention it or do you say, listen, this is really kind of getting my goat?
No, I
you know,
tell
have
him,
you ever
this is what,
stood
this
up
is
and
what's
said,
bothering
listen,
me,
I
and I want you to know that this
it.
Hurts me. Right.
And what did
I tell him,
say?
What you're doing hurts me deeply. It hurts when you do
but
that.
But what does he do, though, by talking to another, by well, talking to somebody who he deems a friend?
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, he, you know, he's got, his behavior has gotten better. There used to be a lot more people that he used to talk to
mm-hmm.
out of loneliness, you know, and boredom.
Okay.
And he stopped, you know. So now he's down to, you know, he's down to three, four female friends, and I'm okay with all of them except for two.
Okay.
But they go way
okay.
back, like years. They go back to, like, high school for him. So, you know, he you know, he's not going to change. He's not going to get rid of them for me. These are not
yeah.
friends that he has for 5 years. They're high school friends.
No, and I could definitely agree there. So one of two things has to happen. Either that's going to be, you know, you have to ask yourself whether or not those two people, okay, are worth sacrificing the rest of the relationship for.
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
Because it's got to be something where either you come to a place where you could grow to be comfortable with this, okay, if you involve yourself more, okay, have them over to dinner, see what the fuck they're like, you know. Either you need to come to a place where you're going to be okay with that, or you need to come to a place where you're just going to call it off, okay? If it's that much to you, you have to ask yourself whether or not the squeeze is worth the juice here.
Right.
Well, they live in different states. They live in different states, so I don't think that, you know. But I guess that is a good idea if that ever comes up, you know.
Come for a visit. Come for a visit. Listen, you know what? Maybe I would feel better about these two people, you know, if I actually met them, if I actually knew what they were all about, you know. You know,
that's a wonderful
let's
idea.
Let's have them over, you know. Let's have them come to, you know, let's have them come to dinner or whatever. I'd like to meet them. If they're going to be in your life and you're not willing to concede to my feelings on this, then I need to see whether or not I can be okay with this. And the only way I'm going to be okay with this is if I get to meet them. So
that's
take
exactly
one weekend
idea
to go and visit them, or have them over for a weekend and have them visit. You know, I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, I mean, and but if you're having these kinds of reservations, then you don't need anybody to tell you not to move forward. You clearly can't move forward with these women in his life in that way. You know, and like
right.
I said, you have to ask yourself whether or not those two people are worth sacrificing everything else. It's got to have a pro and a con, you know. Are the pros of this relationship outweighing the cons? And if the pros are outweighing the cons, then you need to be the one to change, and you need to be the one that heals yourself to a point where you can be okay with this other relationship, or you can say, you know what, the con is too big, it outweighs all of the pros, and it's not worth it for me to engage myself anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. And this way, see what happens. And so let's sum this up. Eleanor, what do you plan on doing here?
Well, I plan on hashing out every issue that I have before he even moves in,
exactly,
which we've been doing.
Absolutely.
You know, because I, you know, have to be very clear and have peace before I make any kind of decision. You know, I don't want to go half-assed mm-hmm. into something. You know, I already, ended one
well.
Marriage. I'm not going to. Yeah. And,
Yeah, and you need to make sure that he understands that, listen, you know what, we are going, you know, we're going down this road right now, and I'm not exactly confident that this is the right road. Okay, and you know what? Maybe you have been burned before, and maybe you are a little bit commitment phobic right now, whatever. You know, so you have to keep yourself in check that you're not looking for something to be wrong, that you're not looking for the next thing. We were having a bunch of conversations on it this week about, you know, if you keep looking for things, you're going to find what you're looking for eventually. Okay, it's just the law of chance right there. If you keep looking for it, you'll find it eventually. So you need to kind of be objective with yourself. And you need to figure out what's really bothering me, okay? Don't pick a fight and don't say, yeah, it's these two women, when really there's a deeper problem there. Because then even if you do meet these women, even if you do come to a place where you could be okay with them, you're only treating the symptom of a greater problem. And that problem is not going away just because you become okay with one symptom.
Right, exactly.
But,
I mean, which it seems like a trust issue here. There's a lot of trust issues. Here. Like, you don't fully trust him yet.
Right. I mean, there's no, you know, hanky-panky going on, but it's more, you know, of the talking and emotional stuff and the texting, you know, that bothers me. But, you know, I think that he's just a very talkative person by nature, and he needs, you know, because he's got no family in his life, he needs to constantly fill his life with people, I think.
Well,
right.
Maybe it's just also a situation where because he has no family, maybe these people that have known him since, you know, since he was in high school, maybe that is his version of family.
Exactly.
Maybe that's why he keeps them around, because they're the
well,
only
that's what he
tie
says
that he has to his past.
He says that they're very supportive of him and very positive. So, you know.
A
lot of thinking to do.
Yeah, I know, of course. And, you know, again, if he moves in, the only problem that I'm a little bit worried about is that if he doesn't work in 2 months, where is he going to go live?
I know. Well, that's the problem. That's the big problem.
Like, I don't want you stuck with him. I mean, like, you know, once, and also in the state of New York, once you move somebody in, you can't get them out without a sheriff.
I know, there's squatter laws here.
I know. I mean, which makes it horrible. Like, I'm always telling people, don't even let your friend move in for a day, because they get a piece of mail sent there, you can't get them out of your house, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? So that's the only thing that scares me about letting people move into your home in New York. Any other state, this isn't it. You know, but you know him better than anybody else. But we never really know how people are going to respond, though, if we tell them to get out. You know what I mean? But right now, how do you think he would respond if you had to ask him to move out?
Not very well, because he'd give me a very hard time and tell me I'd probably have to give him money and, you know, to help him in some way get out, which, you know.
Okay, that's
he already
what I'm
said
hearing.
Ahead of time,
that's
I mean,
what I knew you were going to say. I'm going to have to give him money. You've got nothing really to gain from this. And a lot to lose.
Well,
he's in financial, you know, if anything, it's called fiscal infidelity. He doesn't have the same amount of money you do. He's, you know, kind of going to be guilty of cheating with money because you'll be the one that's got to support most of this. And if you got to use your money to get him out, that's a disaster. So,
right.
You know, that's the thing. I knew you were going
to
say.
But we'd have to sign contracts. We're going to have to sign contracts. What would happen if, you know?
Exactly. I mean, that may sound ridiculous, but you have to put everything in writing. That,
yeah.
And maybe he shouldn't give up his apartment right away, you know,
well,
see how it goes
yeah,
for a
month.
He couldn't
afford to do both. He couldn't afford to do both to give me my, you know. But he does, you know, he does stay here for a month at a time, you know, so.
And
I
how
feel
is
mixed,
it when he
stays
you know,
there?
Like,
well, when he stays there, I feel mixed. It's nice to wake up and go to sleep with him around.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, like he, you know, it's a hostile takeover of my area, you know, and he likes this one area. And, you know, I just feel, you know, kind of squashed. And when he goes home, it's kind of a relief because, you know,
okay,
I have to.
Okay, now that's what I needed to hear. You're not going to get any relief then. I mean,
right.
The difference between someone staying for a month and you're so relieved they're gone and somebody living in your house all the time. I mean, again,
right.
I'm telling you, very few people we can actually live with.
Right.
I mean, how many of my clients have gone on trips with their presumably best friend for a week, and after that, they're not friends anymore. They couldn't even, like, live together in a hotel for a week. So, you know, he doesn't go anywhere. See, that's another thing. He works from the home, and he doesn't go anywhere. It's not like he goes out to work, and there'll be times you'd be in the house, and he's not there. He's going to be there 24-7.
I know.
24-7. So if you want to,
and if
you
go somewhere,
you want to be quiet, you're going to have to go out somewhere.
I know, and I do. But if he wants to go out, I have to go with him. He doesn't go out without me. Isn't that crazy?
Right. Well, that's why you're kind of mommy to a boy is what I'm seeing here in many ways. The way you're describing
right.
it is, you know, what, and have there's a rush of aggression.
Have you had that conversation as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, he sees a lot of things about me that are very similar to his mother, I think. There are a lot of parallels between
okay.
us.
Okay, and mommy to a boy
is
difficult.
Have you had the conversation of, listen, you know, just because, you know, we're together doesn't mean that we become one person. And that does not mean that I need to monitor you going out, but it also does mean that even if you want to go out with me, I'm very, very flattered, but sometimes I just want my space. And that's okay.
He knows that because I do make plans without him.
And
right.
he's and
so,
is he still overstepping that bound when you say it? Do you remind him?
No.
Be like,
no.
This is my space now?
No,
or
I mean, we're okay with that.
Okay, well.
No, we're okay with that.
Just realize it's not going to be that easy because, you know, you are a mommy to a boy at some level. It's very hard to abandon our children, so sometimes we stay really stuck in these relationships for a long time.
I know.
And, you know, that's difficult. Really, the mommy to a boy can be very, very, very difficult. And, you know, think about, do you want that role? There's an old Russian expression, one man's like two children. Okay, so do you want two more boys? So if he's a very needy person and wants all your attention and all your time, you might, you know, your relationship at the third-year mark. It's usually around the five-year mark that some of these things really make us not want a person. You know, so maybe the next three, maybe living with him for 2 years, you'll realize, I can't deal with this, or maybe you found a way to deal with it. But, you know, keep in mind, you've seen what he's like. He's not going to change. So you either accept the way he is or you don't accept it. but he's really not going to change much. So, you know, why don't you, like, you know, think about it before, you know, when's he supposed to be moving in?
Well, let's talk about January, but I think, you know, it's a 6-month renewal in his lease. I'm thinking maybe he should be moving in July. If that, you know, so we can hash out, have more time to hash things out.
I would give it 6 more months.
Yeah.
Give it 6 more months, okay?
Yeah,
six
I think,
more
yeah,
months.
Because I'm going to tell him, yeah, I'm going to tell him, you know, the things that are bothering me and I'm not ready.
Exactly. Put it off 6 months because I'm not so sure you're going to still be with him 6 months from now. So
you don't think I will?
Not if something doesn't change. No,
I'm not even seeing you being with him.
It doesn't really sound like you won't want to be with him now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do and I don't.
Right, and that's not good enough.
Yeah,
one foot in, one foot out.
Listen,
nothing
like,
can be fixed
that
way.
You have to look at it this way. Like, you have to look at it like this. Like, when you're moving with somebody, when a relationship progresses to that stage, it's supposed to be a happy time. It's supposed to be like, oh, my God, we're moving in together. You know, we're going to do this. And, you know, it should be a happy time. This is clearly not a happy time for you. You are not having fun with this.
No, exactly.
No, I'm not.
You know,
so
if this is not a happy time for you, when you're taking your relationship to the next level, it's usually a clear indication that you don't want to be on that level.
Right. When you're really in a relationship that you want to be in, the most thrilling thing is to have a pajama party with your best friend. You can't wait for that person to move in. And if you don't feel that way, this is your home and your territory. And, you know, seriously, waiting 6 months, if he gets all pissed off, that's too bad. But waiting 6 months, you will have the answer. Okay, you will know one way or the other by then.
But you don't see that long term at all.
I don't see it long term here. I mean, I just
it
see.
It sounds to me
maybe
like
two
both
more.
Of you
I see
have
maybe
some
he
issues.
Would live there 2 years because you're trying to make this work and your son likes him. But it, the way it's going now, it looks like 2 years you would want him out of there. And so, you know, see. If,
not unless some issues are healed here.
Right.
I mean, listen, anything can happen. I'm a firm believer in that. But it sounds to me like you've got too many unhealed issues and he's got too many unhealed issues. And when two people are entering into and they're going to try to share a life together and they're not healed people, those issues are going to riddle the relationship.
Exactly.
That's just what happens, you know, that it's you have to be a healed person, which means that, like I said earlier, you need to figure out where this insecurity is coming from, because it might not have anything to do with the two women at hand. That it might be something with you. And that's OK. You know, we all have our hangups. It's a question of addressing those hangups and moving forward from them, or the reverse. It could be these women. Maybe there is something to be worried about and it's your gut telling you. But until you actually face this head on, and actually have him hear you and to the point of where you're eliciting a different response, you know, you're just going to take these issues into the same house, and it's only a matter of time before that blows up, you know? So, I mean, can you wind up with him long-term? Yeah, you could if both of you were healed people. But if you're not healed yet, then jumping into this is not going to heal you any faster. In fact, it might damage you more.
Exactly. Well, we're going to be bumped off in about a second, so I want to say goodbye to everybody.
Okay.
This is our last show of the year.
Thank you.
We'll be back on the air January 3rd.
Eleanor,
okay.
Do us
thank
a favor. Call
Eleanor,
January,
call in the new
year. I want
year.
An update.
Yeah, you call in the
we will.
Too. Call in the new year. Okay, good night. Happy New
thank
Year.
You
Merry
so
Christmas.
Much, ladies.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Merry everything. And we'll see you
yes, and happy
January
holidays.
3rd.
And thank you to everybody that called in tonight. And Cindy, again, my deepest condolences. You know where to find me if you need me. And, you know, God bless you and your family right now.
Thank you so much. Good night, everybody.
Good night.